Okay, so we're going to continue our Hilchos Shabbos Halacha series with something that has come up in the past with a bunch of conversations. So I thought this was a very important area to start from. Hopefully we'll get a chance to do a few different halachas in this series, different halachas. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah B'dvaro. And that's the halachas of Lisha. What you need to know. Really enjoyed that title. K-N-E-A-D. So that's the halachas of Lisha. So when it comes to halachas of Lisha, the basic concept is absorbing, is taking different consistencies and putting them together to create one larger mass. And because you're creating that one larger mass through the kneading process, that is the malacha. The malacha was done in the Mishkan, either when the dyes were necessary, or according to the Gaonim, the Rav Haigon, it was found by the Lechem Aponim. Wherever it was found, it's one of the Lamates Malachas, that is kneading. So we often think of kneading in terms of another halacha that's very prevalent amongst you and that you're very involved with, which is the mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah. The halacha is that Hafrashas Challah, you're chayev to be mafresh mishas lisha. That when you knead the dough, when you combine the entities, the flour and the water, and it becomes into a dough, and you knead it, and it becomes this new thick batter. So that now is lisha, and that's when you have to be mafresh challah. But the truth is that lisha doesn't necessarily have to exist only in the context of a dough, and it exists in many other areas of halacha, which gets a little sticky, no pun intended, you know, in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. We should just follow the same route that we followed with Hilchos Amira La'akum, that if we break down the principles and we build a structure, then we'll understand a little bit better why something should be usser, something should be mutter, and some things we should probably stay away from because they're a little dangerous territory. So let's get a little background. So when we come to the malacha of Lisha, it's a fascinating malacha because there are really two targeted points in time that one could focus on. There's one point in time where a person originally pours the water into the flour, into the other texture, that ultimately will become this new absorbed mass. That's called, in halacha, the stage of nesinas hamayim. Okay? Then there's another stage in halacha, which is shaslisha, which is the actual time after the items have absorbed. Now I'm actually starting to be megabel, what Chazal call it, and to start kneading the dough or whatever other entity that I'm mixing up after it absorbed the water. So one really could look at the malacha and break it down at two points in time. So when is the time that there's an isser and there's a prohibition of lisha? So this actually, the Gemara says, is a machlokes tanoim. You have different Gemaras that imply different things, and the Gemara says it's because there are two different shitas, there are two different tanoim. And one is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Rebbe, and the other one is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. Rebbe was of the opinion that at shas nesinas hamayim, once you pour the water, that is considered lisha. That is the malacha of lush. However, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that it's only mishas lisha, at the time when you're actually active and you're going to be megabel and you're tossing it and you're moving the thing around and mixing them together. So who do we paskin like? So this is very important. So there's a major machlokas rishonim, which opinion to follow, which gemara to paskin like. In Shulchan Aruch, because it's a major machlokas rishonim, who to paskin like, we are machmir for both opinions. That we're choshesh that there's lisha, both at nesinas hamayim, from pouring the water, and there's also lisha at the time of Lisha ve'elech at the time of the Gibel, at the time of the movement, at the active part of the kneading, which we would classically define kneading to be. But it's important to note, although lichatchila, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that we are choshesh and we are concerned with both opinions, and that's what will be the normal status quo in terms of the halacha, that we should be concerned with both situations. There are situations that come up that a person could rely on the ikar halacha, which is the shita of Rov Rishonim, the shita of Rov Rishonim that do not paskin like Rebbe, and hold that the real malacha, the real makoy, is specifically at the time of Gibel, at the time of the kneading. That might open up in certain scenarios that we won't be concerned with the Nesinas Hamayim issue of Rebbe, which was the opinion of the Sefer HaTruma, which is the opinion of the Rishonim that the Shulchan Aruch say a person should be choshish for, but in situations, may ikar adin, that might come up, that you could rely on those opinions that only pass like Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda, that the actual malacha is at the Gibel point. Now, the reason why this is crucial to break down at the beginning and at the outset, that we're learning the malacha of Lisha, is because Lisha happens to be a fascinating malacha. In the Hilchos Shabbos in general, just a little bit of background, if I would tell you it's a malacha for you to turn on that light, or it's a malacha for you to drive a car, you're not allowed to do that, and you're violating an Isser D'Oraisa, a biblical Isser, it's a horrible Isser, you should never do that. But then I would tell you, you know what? The Gemara says, if you do it in an indirect manner, it's potter. So what does it mean it's potter? So the Gemara has a klal, Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara says, already on Daf Gimel, the Gemara says, kol pater v'shavis, pater avar oser. Anytime it says pater, that means it's pater minat Torah. Biblically, pater, what does it mean you're exempt? You're exempt from what? You're exempt if you violated such a malacha and you transgressed it, b'shogeg. Whereas usually you'd have to bring a karban chatas. In such a scenario where you didn't violate the biblical law, you do not have to bring a korban chatas. Or chas v'shalom, if a person did it b'mezid, he got asra, so then he'd be chayev skila in the times of the Beis Din. So the Gemara says pater. But any time it says pater, it means, unless it's stated otherwise, where there are a few exceptions, but most of the time when it says pater, it means patel avar aser midrabbanan, it's still rabbinically prohibited. So now, what would happen if a person would tell me, Rabbi, I'm not going to violate the biblical prohibition, I'm going to do it indirectly. I'm going to turn on the light with my elbow. I'm going to, drive a car with my pinky, some sort of shinoi. So the halacha would be, you're right, minat Torah, you're okay. But midrabbanan, kla'achar yad, a malacha and kla'achar yad, done in an abnormal fashion, is still aser midrabbanan. Comes along the Gemara when it comes to Lisha, and the Gemara says something striking. The Gemara says, if you implement a shinoi, and you do Lisha in an indirect way, so now suddenly, these things become permissible. Now you can circumvent the whole malacha. So it's fascinating. And the Achronim are really bothered why that should be. You know, every other area of halacha, you're telling me if you do a b'shinoi, that I just went against the rabbis, I went to a rabbinic halacha. Over here, you're telling me that shinuyim work. So I'm not going to spend time on it. It's a fascinating question, but it could be that in certain scenarios, when it comes to Lisha, if you do it in an abnormal way and you figure out a good shinoi to implement when you're kneading, you're going to change the whole entity that you're talking about. This isn't even going to be, pardon my language, a good glob. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you would knead in a normal way, you would have a good gibel, you would have a good entity, a good mass that you created, but now because you mixed it in such an abnormal way, not only did you do it abnormally, but your result, your outcome, is really not a good texture, and it really, you can tell that there's that the result is different. So it could be that there's a rationale for that situation that's going to be permissible. The reason why I'm pointing that out is because if that's the case, so now, we have to figure out at what point in time we should implement our indirect actions and indirect process of going through the Malacha of Lisha, at which stage in the Lisha process to make it now permissible. If the Gemara is telling us that Lisha has that unique element that now a shinui is going to really make a difference, it could even potentially become mutter. So now we have to decide, okay, well, so when is it going to be mutter and when is it going to be aser? So one point in time that you're going to want to do the shinui, because again, we are choshesh lechatchila that even nesinas hamayim is going to be in iser, like the opinion of Rebbe that I started off with. So then I'm going to want to make a shinui even at that first stage, even at the point in time that I put the water in. That's shinui number one. All right, again, we sniff. We try to figure out, where's a malach over here? Wherever there's an issue, wherever there's a transgression, we want to make sure that we're implementing a shinui. So if according to halacha, we're choshesh for the opinion of Rebbe, that already before we mix it, b'nishas nesinas hamayim, there's already a potential issue of lisha, I want to implement a shinui already at nesinas hamayim. If the issue is like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, that the issue is technically really at the time of mixing, at the time of gibul, at the time of physical lisha, so then what? Make sure you're going to have a shinoi when? At the time of gibul, at the time of mixing. So we're going to really focus on two different types of shinuyim that are relevant and that are very important. Okay. But we don't only have to distinguish between implementing shinuyim and abnormal practices and ways of doing the malacha at the two different times. We also have to distinguish between two different types of textures and consistencies. The Gemara distinguishes between a consistency that is a blila raka and a blila ova. That's defined to be a thick batter versus a thin batter. If you're dealing with a thick batter, so the Gemara tells us that means that the potential over here of what you're transgressing is de'oraisa. That's biblical territory, which we can understand, we can relate to, because that's similar to classic dough, a thick batter. A thin batter, blila raka, totally not similar to classic lisha, that is at most an iser derabbanan. So it's because of that, that when it comes to a blila raka, the Gemara introduces this idea of a shinoi at the nesinas hamayim stage one. Remember, we hold that there are potentially two points in time that the malacha could be transgressed. And for sure we're going to get to that we're going to need to implement state shinuyim at the time of mixing, no matter what the scenario is. However, Rebbe told us, and we are concerned of the opinion of Rebbe, that even at the time of Nesinas Hamayim, there is a prohibition. But comes along the Gemara and says, wait a second, I can even implement that shinoi that I just suggested at the first stage, at Nesinas Hamayim, if it's a blila raka. What does that mean? It means a soft batter. How do you define a soft batter? So the Chazon Ish said it's very simple. You flip the cup over. You flip the plate over. If it pours, then it's a thin batter. If it plops, then it's a thick batter. Like dough. So that's on the books. The Gemara says, if I switch the order in a thin batter, that is a situation where even Rebbe, who is of the opinion that I can't put mayim into a batter, that's already lisha, that's already the violation, that's already the transgression. At the time, even if you didn't mix, at the time that you poured the water, that's already a transgression, says the Gemara. So all you have to do is very simple, just switch the classic order. What does that mean to switch the classic order? So if you usually put the food in the bowl first, and then you put the water, so you do the opposite. You put the water, And then you put the food. Again, this is all assuming that it's a what? A blila raka. That you're end game and you're not going to be dealing with anything thick. And that means as well that you're going to pour it at a rapid pace, that it's not going to be thick and then thin. Because we don't care temporarily if it's... We care about lamaisa. You made something thick at that point in time. So if that means, like the Chazon Ish points out, that you got to pour things quicker to make sure that it stays a thin batter, so then that's what you have to do. We're going to get to examples of everything at the end. I just want to go through the basic understanding, the structure of the malacha, and then we could apply it to different cases. I'm trying to avoid baby cereals as much as I can.
Question?
That's a little warning for the end, yeah.
Does it matter if it's the norm of, like, people?
Excellent question. So, if you have a normal way and you have a consistent way, you can follow yourself. But sometimes I don't have a normal way. I change every time and I can't even remember what I do. Like, you know, if you ask me how to make half of these things, I can't tell you. Like, I don't know. I don't make them. Like, you know. So some poskim say that you should follow the box. Whatever the box, the instruction of the box says, that's probably the normal way. And then you should do the opposite in terms of that. Other poskim say that you could follow what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, which I think, I don't know, I could ask you, but the Gemara says, Ashinoi, if there's no way, the Gemara talks about, what happens if there's no one has a usual way of making it, how are you Mishana the Seder? How do you change it? So the Gemara says, put the Ochel first and then put the water. I don't know. I think personally that Gemara is not so prevalent in these days, and I think that would be the normal way in these days. But there are poskim that say if you don't have a usual way, then you have to be machmir. You can't follow the box of Cameron. But, you know, there are many poskim that you can rely on to follow the shinuyim of the Gemara in such a scenario. The Taz had a chumrah that you wouldn't be able to. But if you have, I think most people have a usual way. And if not, start making a shita of, this is the way we paskin. We make cereal like this. So that's what the Gemara says. So you'd be Mashana the Seder. But again, I'm stressing. This is all in a situation of where it's a thin batter. Why? So I think it makes sense with what I discussed. When I'm changing the order of the way I'm doing things, is that going to be similar to what I said, that over here, the shinoi changes the result, it changes the outcome, it's like a totally different entity? No. When I'm putting the water in, that's just an abnormal way of what? Of doing the activity. Right? I do A before B, but ultimately what I'm creating is the same entity. And it's mixing the same way. So it's a shinoi at the time of Nesina Samayim is just a shinoi at the malacha. So wait a second. So that should follow the regular rules and regulations that shinuyim should be asur midrabanan. That's not okay. It's just like a guy who turned on the light with his elbow. We're not going to permit a person to do that. And yet suddenly the Gemara says it's totally permitted. Yeah, the answer is the Gemara permitted it by what? By a thin batter. A blila raka to begin with was only, a thin batter was only an Isser D'Rabbanan. So by the Isser D'Rabbanan, by the lower level Lisha, by something which is always going to be a thin batter, so then, that's where the Gemara says this type of shinoi is still going to be mutter, even though it's a shinoi only in the maisa and not in the actual result. Let's say, for instance, I just came now. You have, I remember my father, Halav HaShalom, when he was sick. So unfortunately, he used to have to take things because he had a tumor, so his brain, unfortunately, he used to cough incessantly. So we used to put thickener into his, even when he drank water. So that thickener, when he drank water, is still going to be a blila raka. Because when I flip that over, although it's going to be thickened water, but it's still going to be a liquid that is going to drip out. It's going to be a liquid, like similar to a liquid batter. So that would be a situation where shinoi beseder is what the Gemara is talking about. That would be, if I have a certain way that I do it, so then that would be a situation where it would be mutter. Obviously, again, situation of pikuach nefesh, if the person doesn't have anything to eat, wouldn't matter, but That would be a situation, even where I do have other things to feed him, that's going to be something that's mutter. So that's the first stage, the nesinas hamayim. Now, what happens? Yeah.
Oh,
excellent. So, I was getting there. No problem. No, it was a perfect spot because I have to figure out a place. And you remember the Amir La'akam Shirim. So the Chazon Ish points out that by iced tea, let's say you put in powders. So technically, Bas is right that you're mixing two entities. So is that a violation of lush? So they asked Rav Meisher this kasha. Rav Meisher wanted to know if there was any issue of, they asked him, can you make chocolate milk? And can you, so our chocolate milk is really, really, if you have the Hershey syrup, so it's like syrup and water, but let's say you have chocolate milk of like the Israeli style. It's like the hot cocoa. It's like the real chocolate milk. So the Chazon Ish said, first of all, once something totally dissolves, and something is totally dissolving into the liquid, there's no mass at all, there's no shiloh of lisha whatsoever. So you don't have to be concerned, order, nothing, mixing, do whatever you want, put it on your head, you're totally fine. They asked the Chazon Ish, what about if you're dealing with the Israeli-style chocolate milks, and you get some clumps at the bottom? And some people actually like these clumps. I remember, my father used to like the chocolate at the end. It's like this, like the cocoa pebbles, the milk you save at the end, like it's chocolate milk. So, that's the cocoa at the end, the spoons. So the Chazon Ish actually had a chumra. He said that you should be concerned about mixing. They asked Rav Moshe in America. They said, do you have to be concerned about any of these cocoa at the end? And Rav Moshe says, no. Everyone wants to just have the powder totally dissolve into the milk. You don't have to be concerned whatsoever. So any of these powders, any of these drinks that are going to be totally dissolved, Rav Meisher said, you have nothing to be concerned about. The lisha will not apply to it. Good. So what about a blila ava? What about something that doesn't pour so nicely? What about something that is more absorbent? What about something that is more of a mass? Is an entity that I could throw it, right? Or plops. Whoa. So that, the Gemara did not apply this Shinui HaSeder. That the Gemara did not apply this to. So if you'd ask Rebbe, what's the halacha over here? He would tell you, what do you mean? You're pouring water into something which is going to be a thick batter. You don't even have to take a spoon. You don't have to do anything. You just violated the malacha. However, if I'd ask Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, the other Tana that we started off with, where he focuses the malacha on what? On the actual mixing. So you tell me, even a thick batter, I might tell you in a few seconds what you should make sure to do when you're actually mixing, but the water? It's not the end of the day. It's not the worst thing in the world, the fact that you put water into an absorbent entity. Just make sure that you're not going to violate anything when you mix it. Okay? So that's going to now really affect what? A lot of our situations. If I'm going to have an absorbent entity, I'm going to have baby cereals, right? That are going to have nesinas hamayim. And then it's going to be a blila ava at the end of the day. So Rebbe would tell me, what are you doing? This is not what the Gemara told you could be Mishana the Seder. The Gemara said it by a blila raka. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda would say, what's the problem? Just make sure that when you mix it, it's okay. Now, how do we paskin? So again, if you remember, I told you at the beginning that most Rishonim came out to Paskin like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. But the Shulchan Aruch said that we should be Choshesh for all the Rishonim, and if the Malacha also exists by Nesinas Hamayim, that's where you should make sure to not do, because that we're also Choshesh for the opinion of Rebbe, of just putting in the water is already the Malacha. Now, if a person doesn't have anything else to eat, or let's say, Lamashal, let's give the example like my father again. Let's say he didn't have anything else and he couldn't eat anything else. He's a zakin. And he can only eat this thick batter, right? So the Shulchan Aruch talks about a zakin. Mishnah Berurah talks about a zakin who needs to eat these things. So then we'll go back to the Ikar Adin. Or if you have ktanim, you have children. Sometimes these children, they are very picky on what they eat. And if they don't eat other things, so then I have to go with the Ikar Adin. What does that mean? I'm gonna stick with Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. I'm gonna make sure to do a shinoi for the Gibel stage, and we'll talk about that in a second, what that means. And even though technically Rebbe would say to me, and the Rishonim that Paskin like Rebbe, the Sefer HaTrumah and the Shulchan Aruch would say, that was already not okay because you put the water in, I'll have to say, yeah, but I'm stuck in this situation. And I have to go with Rov Rishonim over here. And that's the route I'm going to go. But Rabosai, outside of those sticky situations, you really should be machber, like the way Shulchan Aruch tells you. So if, which is most of the time, a child has some Gerber jarred food or some yogurt that they could eat, and they don't need the baby cereals for Shabbos, so I would tell you, stay away. Stay away because you're in a machlokus rishonim right now that Shulchan Aruch already told you that you should be machmir. Now, you'll tell me, wait one second. Now let's go back for a second. What happens in a situation where the child is very picky and the child does need to eat that? So do I only have to be concerned about the gibel? So this is actually interesting. The Mishnah Berurah suggests that you should also be Mishana the Seder and the order of the way you do things. Even though, what am I talking about over here? I'm not talking about a liquid batter. That's why I'm becoming so stringent, and I have some people that are not happy with me right now. But this is a blila ava. This is heavy. This is d'oraisa territory. This is not a blila raka the d'rabbanan territory. The Gemara only introduced to me changing the order of water before food or food before water, depending on your practice, was only in the category of what? A liquid batter. Comes along to Mr. Brewer and he says, in a situation where a person is going with the Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda opinion, that the gibel and the lisha is really when you mix it, and I'm ignoring the time of when I'm placing the water in, says the Mr. Brewer, quoting from the Trumas Hadeshen, you should still switch the normal order. So again, in any situation that a person has to be makel and lenient, for any type of this thick batter, and if it's not baby cereal, I'm just sticking with baby cereals because that's, I think, the most common one. But, and because I want to announce that a lot of times, but I have to tell you, I've spoken to a few of your husbands about it. I'm very weary about it. And I'll tell you why in a second. So you have to switch the order as well. Number two. We're not even up to that yet. Yeah. I didn't even get to the second stage, like what Ophir is saying. We have to get to the second shinoi, which we didn't even get to. I'm not even getting there because I'm already saying to stay away from it. But in certain situations, it comes up. So therefore, you have to remember that first stage shinoi of switching the order. Now, you'll tell me, one second, Rabbi, why don't I just make it a thin batter? So, I'll be honest with you. If you're going to do that, gesunte hate. But I know your child. I don't think your child wants a baby cereal that's a thin batter. And now, I'll tell you what I'm nervous about. Technically, that's a good argument. But number one, I'm nervous about making sure at all times it was a thin batter. Number two, I'm nervous about knowing exactly when it's thin and when it's thick that you're going to play around with. So again, if we're talking about, and I've been makel like this, if we're talking about a child, this is the first question I always ask, is this the only thing the child eats? Then it's a different story. If this is the diet of the child, so then we have to be makel. We have to look for the Ikar Adin and focus on it. But if it's just like, he likes this on Shabbos, and like, I usually serve it on Sundays, but I say, why not Shabbos today? Stay away. It's not kedai to play around with blila ovas versus blila rakas, thick batter versus thin batters. I'm not telling you it's usser. I'm telling you there's ways that you can make it. But I don't think it's going to be as good. And if you serve it to him in a thin batter, I think that's it for baby cereals. They're not going to be interested in baby cereals anymore. Yeah.
So if something like iced tea or chocolate milk is totally not even...
It's gone. It's done. There's no two entities.
Okay, so that's not even what we're talking about here.
Right.
And something like
baby cereal
is
a bad... Yeah. That we classically use? No, so salad dressing is a very good question.
Mayonnaise
and
mustard.
So we're getting to mayonnaise. No, it's a good point. But mayonnaise has a separate cool on its own. We don't view it, well, we'll talk about mayonnaise in a second. Other than, I mean, I can tell you a thin batter, but like it's not nogeir for Shabbos, meaning like, I don't, you know, pancakes batter, like that stuff. But it's never going to be nogeir for. In terms of what the Gemara was talking about, Blila Raka, I don't know many classic examples. To be honest, a lot there are like four or five like examples that are nogeir, very very nogeir for Lush, and come up all the time. But outside of that, you know, I'm saying like you're not. The Gemara talks about like making with these mustard seeds and like we don't do that stuff, you know. We're not dealing with half of these things, and we're also not playing around with tar. You know what I'm saying? Like we're, you know, so like a lot of we learn the klalim based on these things, but like other than I mean, you know, a thickener on a drink or you know. I was excited when my father needed that. I was like, I started thinking. I was like, oh, that's a good example. I haven't found one. You know what I'm saying? Like. Let's say person, even the outside, a person who uses Metamucil. So that could congeal in if you don't mix that, you know, I so am I. So first of all, my brother, just a shout out to my brother, who's a colorectal surgeon, tells everyone that they should have as much fiber as possible, and it will help you in the long run. So yeah, I don't know. Wasn't expecting to talk about that here, but just a shout out to him and Baruch Hashem. Yeah, Metamucil is a very, very geschmack. But so just before I came, I had some Metamucil. So I had to run to get something for Atara, and I asked. I gave the cup to Tzvi, and I said to Tzvi, "You need to mix it." So he said right, like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, that if you don't keep mixing the blood. Then it's going to congeal. So this congeals. There you got it. You got your Blila Raka. That's what it is. So that's going to be. That's going to be.
Okay,
but your answer is it doesn't come out so often.
But if you're like thickening,
So you're adding thick. If you make a thick mass thicker, that's Lush. At the end of the day, is it dissolving? It's all liquid?
No.
So it's like, oh, so...
It's all
what's coming out? Is the texture of yogurt coming out, or is
a... texture of milk, but thickened a little bit. You can't eat it with...
So I would think that that's more similar to cocoa. That's like the powder in the... That's
the pieces.
In the cocoa, you also see the pieces, but it's dissolving. I don't think so. If I understand you correctly, I think it would be similar to putting powder into chocolate milk, which the post can warm out there. Yeah.
But if you don't open the nipple of the bottle, then it doesn't come out.
Okay.
So is that a reason?
I don't think so. I think it's still considered a liquid. I think there's categories. There's a Blila Raka, the Blila Alva, and then there's a Dabra Nozel, which is like a total liquid, and that doesn't absorb at all. Okay. You'll have other cases, like let's say you have. They asked Rav Moshe, "What about?" I used to love this as a kid, cottage cheese and jam. You're mixing two like liquid consistencies, and so he thought that wasn't leash at all. He thought that's not creating any new mass, and it's not a malacha at all. So I found this out because I was once listening to a tape from Nissen Kaplan from the Mir. And he was a Talmud of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he quoted that said something that I thought contradicted this P'sak of Rav Moshe. He said, and this comes up a lot, he said that it's a Blila Raka, which would be a good example, but I'm going to knock it out in a second because we live in America. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that for you to take mayonnaise and to mix it with ketchup, which makes what? Russian dressing, right. Even I know that. That's about the only thing that I know, because I like Russian dressing. So that makes Russian dressing. So he thought that would be, Nissen Gavin said on the tape, he's like, Chiv Chatas, Skila. I was just like, what? I do that every Shabbos. That's crazy. So, yeah, in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Shlomo Zalman thought that even though it's really these two thin, liquidy items, that's already considered a Blila Raka. That was Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. But Rav Moshe clearly disagreed with that, because that would be less than mixing cottage cheese and jam. Cottage cheese and jam, you're mixing, you're creating a new entity. And Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, in the famous tshuva in Hilchos Shabbos, he writes that there's absolutely no malacha of Lisha, and I think that's the practice in America. The practice in America, I think there might be a distinction in Eretz Yisrael and America, that in Eretz Yisrael some people hold to mix these thinner entities together would be a malacha of Lush, and our practice is to be makel about it. So bottom line, according to Rav Moshe's practice, how many Blila Rakas will you have? Not so many. You'll have something similar to that pours out, like a thickener, like anything that, I don't know, think about, you guys should know better than me, anything that would drip out that has more substance to it, that like a pancake batter. Is there anything on Shabbos that you make like that? Probably not, because you're not cooking. So, fine. When it comes to Lauren's question about salad dressings, so the Mishnah Berurah has a kula that as long as they're big pieces and there's liquid that are sticking to big pieces, you're not creating a new mass over here. You're just putting some juice onto, or some liquid onto pieces of vegetables. That's not considered the malacha of Lisha. Nothing ever changes, so that's not going to be a problem. But once you get things to be smaller, and now they're combined together to be another entity, that could potentially be a problem. More like what? Egg salad, tuna fish. That could potentially be an issue. We have to learn a little bit more about egg salad and tuna fish. So let's get to that. Let's try to move a little bit to try to cover that. So now let's get to the second stage. So now that I got past baby cereals, which I was very nervous about getting past, now that we got past baby cereals, let's talk about the second stage. The second stage, by the way, before I go on, just, I have a little bit of a, everything I'm saying about baby cereals doesn't apply to anything instant. Instant oatmeal. Instant, I don't, you know, like those instant potato things that you used to have in like Heritage. You know what I'm saying? When they, you know what I'm talking about? The yellow Osem things, like when you have no food. Yeah. Right, Manachama, exactly. Those are an Isser D'Oraisa on the spot. Never do those on Shabbos. My reminder is you need distance from the instance. No instance on except for, yeah, I'm saying even if you get around Bishul, you have, I don't know, a Kli Revi, whatever, you took care of Bishul, we'll get to Bishul. But there's no Bishul over here. And then you want to know, can I make it on Shabbos? So this comes up with instant oatmeal. Instant oatmeal should not be made. Why? Why is it any different than what we've been talking about? It's a Blila Ava. It should be totally on Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda. This should be the old Machlokas. What's going on over here? No. The Prima Gadim said when there's something that's so highly absorbent that the second the water hits it, it already becomes exactly what it is, a manachama, like, right, exactly, the instant potatoes, that's exactly what it is. They made the product because it's instant, says the Prima Gadim, even Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Lisha, is the movement, is the Gibel, he thinks that the Nesinas HaMayim is already the Malacha. Whoa, that's something that we do not want to get close to. So anything that's highly absorbent, similar to oatmeal or those manachamas, you do not go near them on Shabbos. That is already a violation of Midoraisa. So everything I'm saying is only baby cereals, but oatmeal is much more serious. Good.
You don't mean like baby oatmeal. You mean like instant oats?
Okay. I didn't get to any of the Gibel. Yeah, okay.
Well,
I'm scared. We barely even started the malacha. That's why I'm nervous. I don't know 100%.
Baby cereal, but it's not like...
So if it's baby cereal, it's the same thing.
Oh, sir.
If it's going to come out like baby cereal, so then that's the old...
That's not instant oat. It means like the Quaker instant oat.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm talking. Right. I'm not aware. I never fed it. I never fed it to my kids, so I don't know what the consistency is. Right. Exactly. Right. So if that's distinct, so then that would be the old thing that lechatchila, X like Rebbe and if you need like Rebbe Yisrael. Okay. So now, but the Ikar Adin, back to the Ikar Adin. No one argues with, and Rov Rishon and Paskin, that Lisha is the mixing. So now the question is, so how do you get around the malacha of the mixing process? So again, this is what I mentioned before, that the malacha of the mixing process is a shinoi, which is, again, fascinating, that for some reason when it came to Lisha, Chazal decided that a shinoi alone would become mutter. Again, probably because whatever shino you're implementing, whatever abnormal practice you're implementing, is going to change the outcome of the entity, and it's going to be not as good, so therefore it took on a life of its own, that there's more permissibility just with the shinoi. So now the crucial question, the million-dollar question is, so what would be a valid shinoi for those things? And now I'm even talking about the orisas. I'm talking about a thick batter. I'm talking about a glob. I'm talking about a blila ova, that now suddenly a shinoi is going to be matir. But everything I'm about to say is also true for a blila raka. Keep in mind, again, it all stems from a machlokis tanoim. Where is lisha? Is that nesinas amayim or is that the mixing? Whatever I'm going to say for a thick batter is going to be true for a thin batter as well. Just the thin batter, I remembered what I had the permissibility, the Gemara said, that I implement the first shinoi of the order of the way I put things in. Because a thin batter is only Durabbanan, Chazal allowed me to put the water there, and that no one's going to argue with. Now I'm getting to the second stage of the thin batter, and in situations where I had to follow the Ikar Adin when I'm just going to focus on Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda's opinion, so now I'm going to implement a shinoi and an abnormal practice for the mixing of a thick batter as well. So what is a good example? So the Gemara says something fascinating. Gemara says if you mix it, shesi ve'erev, which is basically something, usually that terminology is used in when you sew. You sew up and both across and up and down. That's the way the threads are going through. That's what makes a beged, when threads are both shesi, crisscross, shesi ve'erev. So the Gemara says if you mix in a crisscross motion, that's abnormal, that's a shinoi, that would be absolutely permissible. Great. Why? So I can tell you why. Because when I usually mix, I go like this. And when I'm going to go like this, and I'm going to go like that, that's going to be now, the item is not going to come out the same way. The baby cereal is not going to look the same way, or whatever texture, whatever mass, whatever egg salad that I'm trying to mix up right now is not going to come out. The blob is not going to be the same. Came along the Chazon Ish and he says, whoa, not so fast. One second. All you're doing is this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Says the Chazon Ish, this and this is pretty much the same as this. You're just going like that. And says the Chazon Ish, in order for you to have the shinoi, the permissibility of shesi ve'erev, you have to take your spoon out between each direction. So that means shesi, up, erev. Oh, that's not going to be the same texture. That's going to be a good shinoi that's going to change the result. That's going to change the outcome. So, and the Rav Moshe Feinstein Paskin like this Chazon Ish, that if you don't take out the spoon, it's basically, and Rav Moshe gives this, Rav Moshe explains like this as well, that if you're going to go like this, so then it's very similar to just this. So therefore, that minimizes it, but that's a good shinoi. Rav Moshe had a new shinoi that wasn't said in the Gemara. That he said, if you use the back of your spoon, that's also going to be a good shinoi.
You have to do both crisscross?
No, I know. These are different options. The Gemara gives a few different options. The Gemara also says, if you do little by little, that's going to be permissible. So, the Poskim, the Chazon Ish asks, little by little, the Mishabura asks, what are the, I understand, if I do a little bit of a malacha, it's not usser. Chatzi shir is aser min ha-Torah. I can't. If I tell you it's only a half a kezias of nevela or cheeseburger, don't worry, it's not a kezias. So what? It's an isidur isa. I can't have half of a measurement of an issue. You can't have a crumb of something that's aser. So Chazon Ish said, no, it's talking about something that you do on a large scale, and it's only going to come out good if you do it on a large scale. So the Chazon Ish throws out that option. But Rav Moshe held, which some poskim suggest people do, and a lot of poskim hold to this, that this shinoi of using the back of the spoon or the back of the fork is also a good shinoi. The only problem with this chiddush of Rav Moshe is that it's not found in the Gemara. And if the Gemara asked the question, what's a good shinoi for Elisha? And the Gemara has to come on to Shesi Ve'eriv. And the Gemara couldn't have said, what? Use the back of the spoon? So you'll tell me, they didn't have spoons. Or they didn't have handles on their spoons. It's not true. Because the Gemara does mention it by which malacha? By Tochin, which is the malacha prior to this. So some poskim asked against Rav Moshe, if the Gemara knew that we were going to implement this shinoi, so why did the Gemara suggest that that would be the shinoi here? But bottom line, I'm telling you, Rav Moshe didn't bother Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe paskin like this. And you'll find in many people houses, and kosher v'yosher houses, that's a good shinoi. I think that the people, the lamdanim, have a good taina, and there are some poskim that think that that's a real kashan Rav Moshe. But I'm telling you right now, Rav Moshe paskin did. So that's... Then the Gemara has another shinoi. Gemara's a shinoi. You're going to love this one. You could use your hand. That's not classic mixing. Classic mixing is using a utensil. If I'm not using a utensil, I'm mixing with my hand. So then, that would be a good shinoi. So now, half of you are smiling, half of you are not smiling. Because some of you think, this is not so bad, and I just heard it. Who did I just hear it from? Said, put on a glove. Great. Said the Chazon Ish, if you put on a glove, then it's a utensil. So you have to go back to the, you know, like this Chazon Ish, whenever I see this Chazon Ish, reminds me of like back in YNJ, like when there was one, you know, the person who gave out the food and she had one glove over here and she always used the other hand. Shkoyach, thank you for putting on the glove. So that's why, and that's accepted amongst the poskim, that gloves will not work. So I guess it really depends on your hygiene and what you'll accept in terms of your... It doesn't leave so many options.
What does that mean, though? With a glove and utensil? I use my hand to mix.
Uh-huh.
What does the glove make
me different? I agree. I happen to agree with you, but he thinks that that's
maybe
anything...
Maybe the glove will feel more comfortable to you.
Right. Yeah, I think... I hear you. I have no. Yeah. Also, because like in other areas of halacha, we don't. Yeah. Also, like, oh, the Chazon Ish didn't know about the fact that they're those rubber gloves yet. Like, oh, we got them. But yeah, I hear you. But it's not just the chumrah that's accepted. So based on all of this that I said, all the different shinuim that the Gemara said and what it knocks down to. The basic and normal two shinuyim that people usually use is either the shesi, the eriv, and again, just remember to do the Chazon Ish to take it out in the middle, or if you go with Rav Moshe's mahalach of the backward spoon. So you have a lot of people that whenever they'll think about Lisha, they'll think, okay, wait one second. So now I'm going to make sure to switch the order. That's shinuy number one, because I got to remember there's always two stages to Lisha. Right? If there are no two stages to Lisha, then that means I'm probably making some manachama and everything's done in 1 second, so then I shouldn't have gotten involved in that in the first place. So there's two stages. I always have to switch the normal order, and I also have to make sure that there's a good shinoi in the way that I mixed it. Practically, what's shayach for that is, depends where you give your shir. If you give your shear in YU, the yeshiva boys, so they'll be like, what's the problem with the hands? Like, yeah, that's the best one, you know? Like, we probably going to do that even before we were at FSAP. So, but here, it's the normal thing is either the back of the spoon or the chassis veer, yeah.
So, when we're talking about a thick mixture, we're talking about two thick items coming together or a thick thing that makes a thick.
Right. Yeah, a thickener thing that makes it thicker.
So like tuna and mayonnaise are both thick.
So now, tuna and mayonnaise are both thick. So if I would mix tuna and mayonnaise, I would have to implement a shinoi if I would be making it on Shabbos.
What would you change the order?
No. So when it comes to the first shinoi, excellent. When it comes to the first shinoi, there's a great kula. That's not called nesinas hamayim. Mayonnaise is not mayim. So because it's not mayim, so therefore I would only have to focus on the second shinoi.
But why would you be doing that? Like, that's a thick mixture now. And this is only for people who need any, right? So like, why would anybody need tuna?
Right. Right. Meaning if you're not
right?
So again,
this is only for
if it's not considered nesinas hamayim and all I'm dealing with is mayonnaise, so then I never violated that. So now I just have to worry about the way I mix it. But let's say I put some sort of oil into my tuna, or I put some sort of liquid into my bananas or guacamole. Then, 100%, she's 100% right. You really should not be making that on Shabbos. You should be making that beforehand. But if all I'm putting in is a straight up, I'm not sure how I opened my can, but whatever it is, I figured that out. But now all I'm putting is mayonnaise. So mayonnaise is going to be different. That's not nesinas hamayim. But you're 100% right.
But isn't it a thick mixture? Like, didn't we say for thick mixtures,
right,
you should only be dealing with thick mixtures if it's like a shot? Like
this is what I just changed right here. If there's nesinas hamayim, there's one kula called mayonnaise, or some non-liquid entity that would not be considered that original liquid that some poskim say that chumra wouldn't apply to. Again, you have to go back to where we started off with. We said that Rebbe says when you put water into an entity, that's already lisha. And when we said when it came to a thick batter, so then you should stay away from that because Rebbe says you already violated the malacha, and that's a thick batter. But that's, so some poskim say, but that's all if you're talking about mayim, or you're talking about oils, or you're talking about juices. And by the way, that's important for also fruits. Let's say you have some sort of, I don't know, bananas that you want to mix up, you've mashed up bananas, whatever, that you want to feed to a baby. And you want to add some sort of liquid in order to make it, to give it some moisture or something. So that would be another serious issue with that. It's not the classic baby cereal, but that would be nesinas hamayim. Any fruit juices would also be considered nesinas hamayim in such a scenario. But if you have the kula of mayonnaise or you have a jelly, that's never considered nesinas hamayim, so then you could maybe have that kula. But make sure you have the shinoi at the time of the lisha, at the time of the mixing. Okay? What? Because it's not mayim.
But what about mayonnaise with the oil?
That's a problem. If you would add any mayim to the entity,
that's miraka.
Oh, that's true. Mayonnaise and honey together.
Mayonnaise and honey is it together just alone?
Mayonnaise.
That is so interesting. To put in a salad dressing. So that I would think.
It's salad dressing.
No.
Mayonnaise,
honey, it's a dip. And mayonnaise, honey, mustard, and garlic powder.
It's horrible.
No, but you're putting a different texture of garlic powder inside.
But it's
going to be raka, but blila raka, you have to make sure to put it in different order. And when you mix it, you got to make sure you have the shinoim. That's a great example. That's a great example.
It's a good dip, by the way.
But she's asking if it's pourable.
It is.
Okay.
If you put enough.
Good. Excellent.
Eggs and oil
would be her problem, exactly.
You know, like everybody's grandmother does that.
Do you keep my grandmother
do that?
I mix with them.
Yes.
My mother, when she heard I was giving this year, she's just like, what? Are you going to ask her having a bowl of cereal on Shabbos?
But that you can't do oil with eggs for egg salad? But it doesn't come out. Like,
why can't you make why can't you make the egg salad before Shabbos?
No, that's not the question though. But it doesn't come out like a thick mixture. It's more like
salad.
So I'll tell you, the Shmir Shabbos. The answer is no. I'm sticking with the answer no. But the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa asked what Basi asked. He's like, what's going on here? Everyone does this. That's his question, pretty much. He's like, you go to any shtiebel, they're making egg salad before Shalshanis. That's like, literally, I'll show you the quote. That's like really. So basically, the Hasidim and a lot of Misnagdim also are all doing it. So the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chaza tries to basically come up with some kulas to say that there is a bir halacha that says if the items are cooked, so then there might not be lisha after cooking items. So again, alta limud zchus for people that making egg salad on Shabbos, they're not, you know, the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chaza has a kula to defend it. If you're asking me, if you're putting in oil to eggs, is it ideal? And are you now, if it's going to be a blila ova, and you're going to, no, exactly what Sarah said, I don't think you should do it.
But it doesn't change the texture of the eggs, really.
Right, like it doesn't become like a thick mass. It's like piecey. Mm-hmm. It's more like
is it egg salad?
It's not egg salad.
What is it? It's a what?
It's the opposite. Eggs and onions are onions and eggs. Your grandmother ever made that?
No.
My father makes it. Really?
No.
It's okay.
You know what?
No.
We'll have to do an experiment next time.
I'll bring it up.
Sounds like right now not. But let me just give you an example. Okay, this is what I'll say. I don't know what this thing is called and what you just said, but if you would put oil into egg salad, that would be a problem. Okay?
Oil into egg salad.
That would already be a texture. Or if you would put any liquid into tuna, that would be this problem. And l'chadchila, a person should not do that. Good. Let me just finish. Yeah, Lauren. Yeah. Guacamole, I am not done with. Guacamole needs more explanation. We have to get into another malacha for guacamole. You know, like the Gemara has cases. The Gemara speaks about like a guy. He's like, what do you have? A guy who violated 6 different cases with. So guacamole is like that case. Like a person who makes guacamole, like check, 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 check. No, it's not like that. But
to match it, and don't add lemon juice. Just add like
mayonnaise,
not mayonnaise, just add spices. Because match it.
Okay. Yeah, and you're putting what else in?
Just the avocado and let's say spices.
Yeah, if it's just avocado, then you're not, if you're not adding anything else, so you're not being lush anything, you're not lush by definition has to be combining, and you're not combining any entities. What you are potentially transgressing, which is machlokas, the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe, is tochin. Now, you'll look at me and say, what? I'm not cutting anything up. What tochin is there? So that we have to learn Hilchos Tochin, and that's a machlok zechazanish. But practically, if you use... No. If you use the back of your spoon, Rav Moshe said it's mutter. But you need the back of the spoon, not only for mixing entities, even for changing the texture of the avocado, and even for just for people who want to change the texture of bananas for their kids. They also need to do that with the back of the spoon, not because of lush, because you're not adding any water to it, but because of tochi. Just to close, yeah.
Sorry, back of the spoon, it's the handle?
Yeah, no. Yeah. That was a good question. Yeah, sorry about that. That was, yeah. Wow. I am very happy you just asked that question. That was a good question. Yeah. I really, back of the spoon really sounds like, yeah, not handle, yeah. In Aramaic, Kaba de Sakina, it's like much... Okay. It's a very important malacha that we just learned, the malacha of Lush, that we pretty much covered pretty much most of it. And it's a very... I think it's a very important malacha, not only because it really comes up a lot, and especially with our children, but because I was thinking about it, you know, today, and I was saying that really... The first time we encounter Lush is when God creates man. God creates, takes the offer out of the ground and is miyatzer and designs the person by basically taking this blila ova, this thick batter, this thickness of offer, and creating it to be man. And I think the message when it comes to that idea of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used Lisha to create a person is really focused on everything we've been speaking about, is that a Yid, and especially Jewish children, are absorbent. are people that absorb the environment and the house that they're around. And you have to be very careful how you are mixing that blila ava, that blila raka, that absorbing material, that offer that God created with that child and with who we are. And, you know, the yamim that we're in right now, ches teves, tes teves, these were all tanesim. If you look in the Torah, these were all fast days. This is what the Chassam Sofer tells us. We are, unfortunately, right after Hanukkah, we lost the aura of Hanukkah, and we didn't hold on to it, and we're now at the time of Yemei Choshech. Chassam Sofer says it went from the aura that's made with the aleph to the aura that's made with the ayin, the skin, that is now the physical body. And even the tainus that we have on Thursday, Asar B'Teves, it's all about the Choshech around us that absorbed in our existence. They sieged the city. That didn't just mean that they were one step closer to conquering us. It means that the Goyish Olam had an influence and were able to absorb their ideas into our lifestyle. And it's such an important malacha and avoda for us to focus on. You know, we all have pure children that we're Baruch Hashem blessed with, thank God, that we have these tahar neshamas that are living in our houses. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us and He says, I was miyatzer this for you. I did lisha. I took this offer and I molded it into be a living being. But now I need to make sure that you now, especially after the Yontif of Hanukkah, continue to keep that choshech out. To keep all of that dangerous material away from that entity, from that blila that I gave you. And make sure that the juices that are absorbing inside of him, or inside of her, are going to be juices that I'm proud of, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. That I want to be absorbed in their existence. And don't make an Asar B'Teves. Don't make a Zayin Ches Teves. Don't have them focus on the physical ore. But keep around the ore with an Aleph, the light of Hanukkah. The ore, the flame of the Neshama. That's what we should make sure. And we should really think about that it's not only the Blila, the mixing in the kitchen. It's also the mixing in what we're bringing into our house. What do our children always see us involved with? Do they always see us taking out the phone? Do they think that, I can't wait to get to that age when I can have technology, when I could always be spending my time on that? Or do we see mommy and daddy, Abba and mommy, talking about beautiful things, about things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is proud of, about things that we aspire and we want, all of us want, that our children to get to. And I suffer from it as well. My kids see it all the time. It's such a... We have to make sure that we rebuild those chomos. We make sure that our environment is really going to be B'Kedusha V'Tahara. And we're only going to allow things that we know are going to be healthy, both from a physical standpoint and from a spiritual standpoint for our children. We want to make sure that every nutrient that they absorb is going to be something that's going to develop them for the future to be as special as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to be. So Mirtz Hashem, it should be a schus for all of us that we should learn, continue learning, continue mastering halacha, but implementing these ideas into our spiritual lifestyle as well. Yeshakayach.